News Service Daily Newscast, December the 1st, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. A top Republican and Democrats in Congress suggested Sunday that American military officials might have committed a war crime in President Trump's offensive against boats in the Caribbean after a news report said that during one such attack, a follow-up strike was ordered to kill survivors. That from the New York Times. They report the remarks came in response to a Washington Post report Friday that said Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had given a verbal order to kill everyone aboard boats suspected of smuggling drugs, and that this led a military commander to carry out a second strike to kill those who had initially survived an attack in early September. Next to Memphis, where a faith leader is pushing back on claims that the Memphis Safe Task Force is responsible for the city's recent drop in crime. The joint operation includes about 20 local, state, and federal agencies, including the National Guard, Memphis Police, U.S. Marshals, and ICE.
The task force has been praised by the Trump administration for more than 2,800 arrests and 28,000 traffic citations in 2 months. But Dr. Earl Fisher of the group #UpTheVote901 says crime was already on the decline. He argues the initiative relies on what he calls broken windows policing tactics that can lead to racial profiling, stereotypes, and violating people's rights. Fisher adds most stops aren't tied to violent crimes and arrests don't guarantee convictions.
So you are flooding the court, packing out an already packed out jail. They have not told you that of those 2,800 arrests, 40% of them have something to do with illegal immigration.
The Memphis Police Department confirms crime in the city had already dropped to a 25-year low before the task force was formed. Danielle Smith reporting.
Next, communities are grieving the recent shooting of two West Virginia National Guard members in the nation's capital, one of whom died this past weekend.
Sarah Beckstrom of Webster Springs, who passed away from her injuries, was 20 years old. 24-year-old Andrew Wolf of Martinsburg remains hospitalized in critical condition. Brigadier General Leland Blanchard, currently the interim commanding general of the District of Columbia National Guard, says the National Guard remains committed to its directive.
They are, in fact, America's best. I'm proud of each and every one of them. I pray for each and every one of them today, and in particular for these two young service members who are willing to go above and beyond and pay whatever price our nation asks of them.
A federal judge recently ruled the Trump administration's deployment of more than 2,000 National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. this past summer, meant to improve safety on the streets, was against the law. This is Nadia Romlagan for West Virginia News Service.
This is Public News Service. New data make it clear the housing market is challenging right now for first-time home buyers, but in South Dakota, an industry group says all hope is not lost.
Last month, the National Association of Realtors announced that the share of first-time homebuyers dropped to a record low of 21%. Analysts say the numbers underscore how hard it is for younger generations to build wealth through home ownership. Chaz Olson with the South Dakota Housing Development Authority says there's no doubt affordability is a problem right now.
For a first-time homebuyer who's primarily going to be looking at existing homes, factors like high interest rates probably have a greater impact on affordability.
He says market woes place pressure on some SDHDA programs, but he says they're also coming off a year in which they were able to help more than 2,000 first-time home buyers. Olson says younger working adults who might think the market is out of reach need to look into assistance options and see if they're eligible. One of his team's programs helps buyers with maximum family incomes of around $120,000. I'm Mike Moen.
Next to Maine, where officials warn a new federal directive will increase homelessness in the state.
The Trump administration is cutting funding for the Continuum of Care program, which helps move some of the most vulnerable people off the streets and into stable, supportive housing. Mark Swan with the social service organization Preble Street says some 1,200 Mainers, including seniors, veterans, and people with disabilities, are now at risk of losing their homes.
You know, we don't have shelters that can support that many people, and it's just a big step backwards. I don't get why this is happening.
Federal officials say the program has encouraged dependence on government handouts and that funding will now be directed toward short-term transitional housing to encourage greater self-sufficiency. Swan notes the changes come despite a severe housing shortage in the state, with emergency shelters already at capacity. I'm Catherine Carley.
Finally, New Mexico is leaning into its rural roots. in providing students with local healthy foods and school cafeterias, and the National Farm to School Network is taking notice.
The advocacy group brings its annual conference to Albuquerque starting today, noting the state's efforts to turn grassroots community-led food justice into policy. The network's Gian Chan says the conference includes 40 workshops, farm and school field trips, hands-on classes, and presentation of the Golden Chili Awards, celebrating excellence in farm-to-cafeteria work.
But I think everyone is familiar with the term farm-to-table and all of the benefits environmentally for the local economy, just the flavor and freshness of the food. And so we want to bring that same benefits and the same concept to schools.
The Farm-to-School Network praised the state's Universal School Meals program adopted in 2023. I'm Roz Brown.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.